Good morning, good afternoon, Sife.
Good evening, good night.
And right. We here for new one ep. Let's be honest, we've been fucking killing the game recently.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that De La episode
I'm
was
hearing
incredible.
The De La had a couple audio issues maybe early on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a live event. So
go fuck yourself. Another one.
You're gonna get that.
I know.
But I'm hearing the Stretch and Bob one is in the books.
Record books.
Book. Yeah.
Books. We saw our first time bumping nicely up the charts.
First time in a long time.
In a long time.
Yeah, we've been up top before.
Well, you have to remember, now that these new ones,
lot of new ones.
They sit at the top forever.
Yeah.
And some of the new ones, have their own blog. And their own blog that used to post us. But now that they have their own one, guess what they don't post?
Right. They don't post us.
Post us no more. Yo, they don't love you no more.
Oh, that's real accurate.
Have you heard that?
No, I heard about it.
Bro.
That's how big it is.
Yo, you said it wrong.
What is it?
It's accurate.
Accurate.
Saif, it's the best.
I gotta hear it.
It's the best. So at one point he's like, yo, my headphones, they're
blue. Who are
DJ
you talking
Khaled
about?
Talking about the new Hot 97 interview. And I don't come on here and use this as a platform to plug Hot, especially because I don't want to make Sai feel weird because he hates everyone over there now.
I don't hate it.
I know, I'm just kidding. But we did an interview with Khaled, and he came in, he walks in, he's like, this is going to be the greatest interview you ever do in your life. And I was like, okay. And from the beginning,
all right.
He was just on it, just going hard. And he's talking about his headphones at one point. He's like, we work on it to make the sound more accurate. And we're like, wait, what? Then at one point, Ebro's like, you have a lot of sayings out there. And he's like, another one.
Yeah.
And every time Ebro says one of his words, Khaled's responses to him saying one of his phrases was as good as the response.
Right, right.
So he's like, another one. And Khaled's like, big talk. And then he's like, you're a genius. And he's like, major talk. And then he was like, you're a liar. And he's like, the biggest talk. But accurate was fucking... How'd we end up there? Why'd you say accurate?
I don't know.
Did you just say it randomly?
I don't know.
Was I about to say something else?
Where were we?
Talking about... About... The podcast. Oh, because I was like, they don't love you no more.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Yeah, let me play it for you. Hold on. While we're on the subject, and it's a random one app. We're going to have some fun. I'll play you the drop he did for me. It is, I would say, the greatest drop ever made.
Ever?
That I got. That's my favorite drop.
People don't do drops no more. They don't drop no more like they used to.
I've been really on it the last... Because you never know it's going to end. After I watched how things have played out with other people, I'm not naming names.
Yeah.
I was like, you never know what day you're not coming back.
Right.
So I might as well, while I have these guys coming to a studio,
right.
Go say my fucking name in a microphone.
I miss that part.
Oh, of course.
Stuff like that. Like
being able to it's very, not like you couldn't get one if you really needed it, but
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
As opposed to like.
On both sides.
Yeah, for everyone.
And the whatever fuckface engineer has to record that. Like, that's not what he went to school for.
And then here he is. All right, here we go.
Are you going to plug up?
I'm going to plug up. So I can play it real properly.
Hurry up. I got shit to talk about.
You do? Good.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about today.
Hey, yo, check this out. It's DJ Khaled, and it's all about being up late night, real late with Peter Rosenberg on Hot 97. You want to hear classics? You want to hear hip-hop? You want to hear that special cloth alert? You want to hear that real You want to hear them vibes? You want to get goosebumps when you hear certain samples in these records? Hey, yo, Rosenberg, you a hip-hop icon when it comes down to DJing and being this game and radio and the shit you done. They don't praise you enough, man. Tell them to bow down and kneel to greatness, man. Mm. This is Hot 97, and this is DJ Khaled. Hey, yo, Rosenberg, give them another one.
Oh.
Pretty good, right?
And then you can easily just take out the Hot 97 when you leave.
That's what I'm saying, of
it's
course.
Perfect.
And now I've been using it. I just will play it random bridges to get between songs.
Right.
Rosenberg, give them another one.
And then you
and
play another one.
And then
one.
You
right.
play another one.
Right. Because that helps your sloppy mixes.
especially when my sloppy mixes are being done on a computer program. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a real DJ. Anyways,
right.
So I think we have to. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I think we have to, even though it's morose, start the show.
No, okay. No. Can't start with that.
Why not?
Because, first of all, I have a show coming out on Tidal next Tuesday, November 3rd.
Before we get to it, can you explain? Give me a little bit of logic. You think it's better to go this way?
Yes,
order?
Because we have to get our promo shit in up top. We wait to the end. Nobody's listening at the fucking end.
Yes, they are.
Not as much at the beginning.
All right, well, if
fuck
I,
off.
Because and this is important. Because
I have a comedy series, three comedians, and I'm hosting on Tidal. November 3rd is the debut. The first one is free. You don't have to be a Tidal member. So go to Tidal.com and watch my man Nori Davis, Touré, and my man Aaron Berg, Jewish. Mm. So you'll like it. Mm-hmm. Recorded at the Legendary Comedy Cellar.
I like
Cellar.
All Jewish comedians. No,
I know.
They can't help it.
Recorded at the Legendary Comedy Cellar. So watch it.
What day?
Tell your friends Tuesday, November 3rd.
That's next
and then,
Tuesday.
And after that, a Tuesday after that. Every Tuesday after that.
All right. Well, real quick. Tuesday, November 3rd is next Tuesday.
Well, yeah, if you're listening to this today or tomorrow, but if you're listening in the future, it was last Tuesday or a year ago.
And also, go fuck off then. Yeah. But hold on, but next Tuesday, and it's easy
November
to do
November 3rd, 2015.
Because the Tidal concert,
yeah,
I watched it, because you could just go there, and on your phone, it plays perfect.
Yeah, it was a
charity. And when it's free, they don't make you do anything. You can just hit play.
Yeah. They want you to go to Tidal. Check it out. While you're there, check it out.
How was Tidal?
Oh, life-changing. I'm a new man. My 11 minutes of DJing has changed my life. I will go back and look at that day as one of those days.
Why?
I don't know what it was. It was fire and Hove. It was 11 minutes. I was supposed to be in between Usher and Nas and then getting into like Fab. And then that's when Fab brought out Jay. Jay brought out Wayne. Wayne brought out Nicki. That started the chain reaction of like the end of the concert. Mm-hmm. Beyonce and all that shit. So they're like, oh, we're going to put you in the middle. The stage rises up about 15 feet in the air, right? So when I did sound check, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, DJing in the air, but other people are performing on that stage. So I'm like, oh, everyone's performing up in the sky. No one else went up. Flatbush Zombies performed on that stage.
Oh, that was the same one. I saw them. Yeah. I didn't see you. I saw them.
Meek Mill, French, Ross all together on that stage. And I'm like, nobody has gone up yet. This is going to look crazy. So I fucking rise up.
Why'd they give you that?
I don't know. And it could have went away like that. It could have like easy been like,
it could have been, in every other circumstance, it would have been the opposite.
Oh, I DJed at 7 o'clock. It was maybe the worst situation ever.
Right. You had some shitty place.
The music was down to level 3. They didn't even open the doors yet. I'm just playing from 7 to 7:45. Nothing happening. Nothing.
Then all these big artists, they don't rise up in the air.
No,
and you do.
And every artist, I mean, listen, Damian Marley, one of my favorites, he just did Jamrock. Alicia Cara, she did her song. It's great. It's a beautiful song, but it's just one song. Justine Skye did one song.
I watched that part.
Millie Rock.
All I could describe about it was, this is my compliment for it, it was very well organized.
And if you're watching on the computer for the charity, it was probably a nice thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like a song after song after song. But in the venue, it was kind of boring.
It was kind of boring and weird.
Right. And people, listen, I'm not saying nothing bad. Like there was some, Flatbush Zombies was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be a Flatbush Zombie fan. You know what I'm saying? And people would get a pop, like T.I. got a pop, but then it was just like one song. So there's no, so whatever.
So you rise up from
so
the ashes.
I start the from the phoenix, from the ashes. I start the energy. And I didn't know it was going to be like that. And I didn't realize until afterwards, they haven't partied yet. Like, you know, when
right.
we do Summer Jam,
yes.
you're partying from the first moment.
The DJ gigs, and I've never had one, but the DJs who get to rock, it's not the same. Every DJ who's on is playing hits. You're just trying to not play the same hits as the
right,
other DJs.
You're trying to try to do something different.
And in fact, it's the boring time in between acts when they're seeing all this crazy shit. You're jumping on as basically the first time to play songs they really know that they can get excited about.
And it was like tons of songs I could play because a lot of people, Future wasn't there, Drake wasn't there, you know what I'm saying? So I just fucking start doing my
thing.
And
you had no limitations? They said you could play whatever you want? It didn't have to be title on title or?
No.
Okay.
Well, now the replay is not on the on demand because the songs are clearances. Songs. Yeah. So but that's fucking, I'm pissed about that.
But at the time you played.
Yeah, so then I'm going, fuck. But I'm not doing nothing I don't normally do.
Of course.
In a club, it's just, I made my hour or 2 hour set into 10 minutes.
So what'd you play?
I played Swag Surf and fucking Jumpman and, is that me? Oh, sorry. Who's calling me at this time? Oh, my agent. So all the club shit, all the rap. And I'm looking around, I'm like, damn, I might play some rock. I might play some fist pump shot, because it's like a very mixed audience. But as I'm sitting there throughout the night, I'm like, no trap shit, no gutter shit has played yet. Millie Rock Kid came out, did the song. It was cool. But even when I played it, it was bigger than when he performed it, because it was like part of a set.
Right.
So I'm just going hamburger, boom, 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 one after another, talking all my shit. Even I cracked a couple jokes and 15,000 people laughed. Yo, I was like, this is amazing.
Well, and so they also hadn't laughed yet.
Nah, nothing. There was no.
It was kind of serious. It's kind of like the song.
Was no, I don't understand why. I'm gonna talk to some people. You know, my people over there, Rock. I should have been in between every act, because there was sometimes where the act would come off. And it'd be just dead silence.
I know, well, you know how I feel about that. I mean, it happens all the time. It's ridiculous.
Dead silence. I would have came out and just...
Made not a joke.
I wouldn't have wasted time. Just cracked the one-liner and then brought out the next group. It's what I do.
I know. Believe me. Anyway, it's terrible. It happens all the time.
So I'm up there, boom, boom, playing. Then I play like two Caribbean songs. And, yo, the place is going fucking nuts. Nuts, nuts, nuts. And, I was debating whether to play back-to-back, but I didn't want to do that to Meek. But they would have went fucking crazy.
That's a tough
one. But I didn't want to do that to Meek, because I had already played Drake. Not that I can't play Drake, but I fuck with Meek, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, this would be disrespectful if I played. But they would have went
Let's be clear. It would have been the biggest song. Well, you could have played. You played Drake and Future instead.
Yeah, I played like Energy and Jumpman. But Swag Surf. Oh, and I played Palance. You know that Soca record? So they're like, there's people like palancing back and forth in the fucking arena. Then I play like what's the other shit? Oh, Swag Surf, and then...
If you say Swag Surf again, no, I'm ending the podcast.
No, but everybody was... I watched the replay back, and the whole people were just going left to right. I was like, this is crazy. So anyway, I didn't even realize the stage had come down. I was in the zone. So next thing I know, I'm on the ground, and the guy's like, cut it. So I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, so I played Trap Queen because I didn't play it yet, and I was like, all right, thank y'all, ladies and gentlemen. And they scream. I come down the three little steps, and this guy fucking grabs me, production guy. He's like, you gotta go backstage now. I was like, oh, fuck, what did I do? Remember last time when we opened the Barclays, Jay got mad at me?
Yes.
So I was like, what did I do now? Fuck. So I'm walking through the crowd, people are just grabbing me. Yo, you killed it. Da, 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 da. I'm still in the zone though. You know, so I go back there. I'm like, fuck, what did I do? I go to the back. Jay's there with Ross, Khaled, a bunch of other people about to go on. Jay's like, nigga, you murdered it. You killed it. I never seen you do it. I didn't even know you could do that. I'm like, what do you think I am? Just a fucking charity DJ on your fucking roster?
Can I answer for him? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yo, you murdered it. You killed it. He never praised me like that ever. Like, and I've DJed for him a couple times. Like, he's like, yo, that was crazy. Yo, you set the whole show off. Da, da, da. So then he goes on stage. Yo, I'm starting to get. Drewski, you know, he's Instagram
whore.
Genius. Yeah.
Yo, so I'm sorry. Jesus. Like, same thing.
So he's like just... Show me all the people. I don't even know how to find that kind of shit. He's all in the hashtag and all that shit. So and Drewski was with me, so it's a look for him too. So he's looking at all this shit. So I'm like, damn. So then like, Entertainment Tonight wants to interview you. We gotta go. Who do here? Do this now. All the rock people are like, yo, come do this interview. Come do this. Come. I'm like, I don't even know you. Who are you?
Yeah, and before you'd done it, had it just been chill? Like, you just, how did you feel your role was there up until you played?
No, nothing.
You just, like, you were on it.
Happy to be there.
And got a look.
Got some pictures.
Great. Yes.
I'm going to have pictures backstage with French and everybody. After that was, like, a whole new game. Then Jay comes off stage, says the same shit.
He's like, I want you to move in my house.
I need you to DJ my workouts. So he's like, yo, you killed it. Da, da, da. Then I leave, come back. He comes off stage again. OG Juan is like, my guy, because like I'm technically his signee, you know what I'm saying? So Juan is my friend, but like I never really did nothing to impress him. He just fucks with me when I used to work with him. So he's like, my guy, my signee. I signed this guy. So then Jay's like, yo, your boy, woo, killed this. I was like, damn, this must be bigger than I thought. Yo, Rosenberg, the rest of the night, the fucking limo driver, the green room, 4040 after party. Next day, I go in Jay's office, and he's like, yo, niggas is saying Beyonce, then you. I'm like, what? Yo.
Just off of doing what you do.
Timing, performance, the venue, the show not being anything energetic before that.
Perfect.
It was
the perfect storm.
Yeah.
The perfect storm.
And it, yo, age, I got DJ agents hollering at me, Europe, a headphone company, fucking liquor companies.
I'm like, people saw it.
Yo, fucking, this company wants me to make a DJ bag. I'm like, this is crazy.
Hold on.
Off of 11 minutes.
You've worked for 20 years.
Yo, son. I know.
And you did 11.
And I've DJed in the Barclays before, other arenas, bigger stadiums. But I don't know, that night, man.
That is amazing.
I'm going to look back on that day. I've been looking back
on it. Yeah, I'm about to say, I can tell you've been looking at it back on it, as you should.
Nah, but you know me, I don't talk about myself. Yo, I went to L.A. this week. Because the thing is, on the site, everybody was watching it. So people I don't even know in L.A. are like, yo, you murdered it. You killed it.
Yeah, dude.
I met this kid, who's that singer, Bryson Tiller?
Yeah.
He was in the club in L.A. He had a show out there. He was like, yo, you killed that shit. His manager.
He's like on fire.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. I went to his show. Them little Carhartt girls in there.
Oh, yeah, really? The modern Carhartt girl.
What's a modern Carhartt girl?
I don't know, because it's not even rap. It's like, here's the thing. I like Bryson Tiller. I heard a song and it was cool.
It's not. Yo, I'm into music again, yo.
Well, but aren't you? I'm a little bothered that everyone sounds like they're doing the copying the same thing.
Okay, it's a style. I know what you're saying, but I'm into music again. And I think what got me into it is headphones, riding the train, right? Listening to Run the Jewels on the train and headphones is way better than like in the car. When you focus on the raps, you know what I'm saying?
Well, in headphones you can hear rap much better.
Yes, and it's not, that's all I'm doing.
That's totally different than the rest of your entire life.
I know, and like Travis Scott, I even listened to ASAP's album that I missed.
I love Rocky's album.
Woo,
Rocky's album, incredible.
He got the Mos Def, the Kanye
song. That shit's amazing.
The fucking M's that I never even realized was so dope.
Yeah, everything's amazing.
Wait, Travis Scott, Run the Jewels. What else am I listening
Rocky.
To?
Rocky.
Something else I've been playing a lot. Anyway, but yeah, I'm noticing that like, oh, so the Bryson Tiller kid, it goes right with all that.
Yes.
Headphones though, like you gotta like, and you can't skip, you can't listen as a DJ where you just put it for 10 seconds and skip. It's a zone.
I agree. I guess I'm just frustrated because
I'm listening to slow, druggy music that I don't like.
I said, it has happened on the air today. Someone came up and I said, man, there's already one Future. Like, why is everyone trying to sound like Future? And Ebro's like, well, there's Future, Rich Homie Quan, who's Future, Kanye West, who's Future, Travis Scott, who's Future. And I said, fine, I'll take those four. No more.
Yeah.
Because we all know Future is at least popularly the one who did that first. And a lot of those other guys have other talents, but they were influenced by Future.
Right.
But then now they're all the ones who do that.
But I'm
hearing new rappers who were they were spitting bars. Right, and they're like, here's my new song. Right. And I'm like, you're just going to go back? Come on. You were just rapping.
Yeah, no.
Like, don't.
I feel you, but.
But I get it's a zone that people are in. All right.
So anyway, yeah.
So
I'm available for bookings. bookcypher@gmail.com. That's my old one. I'm gonna get a new one soon because I'm like hot out here.
You might need to. They're gonna fill the whole thing?
Huh?
They're gonna fill the whole thing?
No, I'm just gonna get like a cypher rip the Barclays down at gmail.com.
You wanna like let everyone know you're living specifically for that moment.
No, but anyway, for real though, joking aside, everybody that hit me up, I appreciate it. It was really a needed boost.
Yeah.
That I needed. Just a personal thing. Like, I had a rough year, left the station, had a baby, weird vibes with music, and it just set me on the right path. So anybody that tweeted me, Instagrammed me, and everybody, yo, a couple people was like, why are you bringing Drewski up there with you? This is your moment. Then, and they didn't know it was going to be that big. And I was like, nah, I like sharing my moments. I don't want to be alone at the top. And his face, bringing him to that was like...
Well, and for him, I mean, let's be honest, too. It's a dope experience for him. You're still getting the look. But Flex, he just gets to be there and be a part
Flex
of it.
Flex would never bring me to something like
stage,
that.
To the stage, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I used to get mad at him, even though I love Flex to death. I used to get mad at him, like, yo, just let me go. Let me rock with you. Let me get a little look.
Yeah, because that's all you gave Drewski. He just got to have the look. He got to have the look, the moment.
And at that level of his career... Those looks matter. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of looks of Drewski's career, you'll like that the other day, I found out about Drewski's new look, which is a show on Sunday nights before Real Late at 11,
yeah,
where he plays Tri-State music. And I got to find out about that by getting an email saying, hey, Drewski's on. Everyone congratulate Drewski. Here's the new schedule. And for some reason, my show was cut down an hour after.
Wait, what time is your show now?
Same. Midnight.
So his show is 1 hour?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm like, excuse me. Yes, I'd
Wait,
be mad.
What was yours?
I'd be mad if he was taking an hour from me.
It was always 12?
12 to 2, always.
And now it's only 1 hour?
No, it turned out to be fine.
Uh-oh.
But I'm like, great. So he's on 11 to 12. I'm happy for him. Doesn't affect me whatsoever. Why? What? White boy time? It could only be 1 hour each? And it turned out it was just a mistake.
Right.
But I was like, it was just a classic email because I didn't heard anything about it.
Right,
so I'm like,
right,
I was in the middle doing another radio show, and then I get a thing that's just like, hey, by the way, you be happy for Drewski, but no, you lost an hour for no reason.
Right,
your
time's
the same.
It was the same
time. So anyways, it's actually kind of cool now, though, because Drewski's doing a local music show at 11, yeah, and you know, I play a good amount of local stuff, and we don't cross over on that much,
right,
but there'll be some stuff that we do.
Great.
Like the Dougie F's and the Dave East, yeah, and that's just a good opportunity to even like to, yeah, impact
all
a little
of
bit more.
Good. Yeah, all of it's good.
So congratulations, Drewski. It's very cool. And congratulations to you, Steve. That's really cool. You got such a cool look.
Thank you.
I'm going to need
I'm
you
available
at some point
for bar mitzvahs.
We'll take that bar mitzvah money. You need that. Now, by the way, I want to connect with Jay at some point.
Jay-Z?
Yeah. About my sports shit, though. I want to have like a rock sports. I told Rich Kleiman that I want to do that.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to have like a, because I've always felt like it's annoying. Like, Jay and I have a good rapport, but that, like, it's always, you know, we report on their lives so much. And I wanted to check in with Jay and be like, yo, listen, in this sports shit, I'm your dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is a world where you have someone who's an ally in that world.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that. I don't want you to think, like, you have to worry about me being that role here. That's not what I'm doing. Like, I'm kind of repping for hip-hop,
yeah,
in that world.
I bring, well, Juan and Rich are definitely the first step, which is great. And I went in, I never got invited. I mean, I've been in Jay's office before, but this was like, yo, come hang out with us the next day. And I was in there talking shit, and they were bigging me up. Jay said I could go on the road with him when he goes on tour.
To
he's
DJ?
Like, he's like, well, not for him, because Guru's in the band, but to DJ, like, he wants me to do what I did before his show.
Oh,
and he's like, yo, you got to come do that again, DJ with me. I'm like, great, let's go. When are you going on tour? I don't know.
I don't know when my album comes out. Have you started yet? I'll get to it. I'm going to get to it.
But... So I was like, yo, just give me your number, and then whatever. He was like, Nick, I'm not giving you my number. I was like, dang, I thought I killed it. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Still left you in the no, he doesn't give his number anymore.
I used to have it. I think he doesn't give it at all.
Yeah, I don't think he gives his number anymore. That's just the reason I'm guessing that is.
So I was like, what?
When he called me that time with the, yeah, blocked number.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, like, not that, I mean, I guess it's not surprising.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, though. You can't
have
your
number. I walk out of his office, I'm like, if I did better than Beyonce, you would have gave it to me.
But he replies to your emails, so you're good. But that way you can apply with many people. Isn't it funny, too, like, that text is so different than the rest, even though it's the same? Like,
yeah,
now DM on Twitter looks the same as text messaging.
Right.
But it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
All right, hey, we have a guest here today. And
yeah,
before,
right.
And then we have some other stuff we got to get to afterwards. But I followed
Shout
this.
Out Sean Dickinson.
Okay.
You know, you met him in L.A. White kid. Juan Epp fan.
I just met him?
No, recently.
This week?
No. You were in L.A.?
Yeah.
When?
Saturday to Monday.
Oh, I just missed you.
You got there Monday?
I was there Sunday.
I was there. Were you at the wrestling pay-per-view?
No.
Oh, all right. I didn't see that. But I went to Katsuya afterwards. I know you like some fucking delicious Japanese food.
No, he took me to some diner called Swingers.
Called what?
Swingers.
Delish.
Like organic diner food.
I love that concept. Very into it.
Yeah. But he's a fan, so shout out him.
All right, well, big up to him. What's his name again?
Sean Dickerson.
Sean. All right, so.
Dickerson or Dickinson? Dicker.
None of us know.
You have Dick in your name, so either way, it's a horrible name. Your name is horrible.
But you just shouted him out, now you just destroyed him.
I mean, he's a good guy, but he should legally change his name.
All right, so shout out to our man DJ Ross One in the building. At RapTees. I know. I'm talking to listeners.
I'm here.
At RapTees on Instagram, at RapTees. Now, Sife, you had the idea of having him come up here, but I already followed him on the gram. So how did
RapTees has an Instagram?
Yeah, that's how I know. How did you guys meet each other?
He's down with Rock.
You're down with Rock?
With Rock, and ironically, I met you right after you came off stage for that performance that you're speaking about.
So that's the first time we met?
Well, we've met in passing before that. I think maybe like some World Cup thing or some soccer thing.
Yeah.
What do you do for The Rock?
I'm a DJ.
You're a Rock Nation DJ?
Yeah, I'm a Rock Nation DJ.
He's big, this guy, yo.
Yeah, from where? Like, can you explain? I don't know.
Who the fuck are you?
More or less, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's about right.
Your name's fucking Ross Schwartzman, and I don't know your DJing.
Sounds about right.
So yeah, how did that happen?
I'm like a club DJ, you know, I'm mostly more than anything, and you know, kind of like on the club circuit.
But like, the uppity clubs.
Uppity club, bottle service, more like, top 40.
And do Vegas and shit like that? Like,
yeah, like every month pretty much is Vegas, Atlantic City.
How did you get
LA, New York, Miami?
How did you get like big enough for Rock to fuck with you? It's basically what Rosenberg wants to ask.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're one of those guys whose names I see at ridiculous amazing places. I'm like, yo, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He's got some dope shit. And then you get up here and you're like, yo, this guy's really good. It's still being good isn't the only prereq to getting great gigs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I started out like a b-boy DJ, like breaks and funk and soul, started out with hip-hop, and then moved to New York and slowly started working in the clubs, opening up in commercial spots and stuff like that, and then just worked my way.
Was there one particular promoter who discovered you, who turned the dial for you a lot?
To be honest, not really. I kind of took the long way, you know, and it requires a lot of luck, requires a lot of preparation. It's a lot, like what Sife was saying, you just got to be ready for those moments, and when you get the chance...
And there's that person there.
You know, and the next day you're in the office.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of my story too. You know, it was just a lot of holding up the wall at clubs, listening, thinking about what I would do better. All the time I'm at shows, at hip hop shows, listening to the opening DJ and being like, yo, this is whack.
Yeah.
Like horrible. This room is ready to go crazy right now, and this DJ is blowing it.
And
I saw you and I couldn't even hear it. I was in that little downstairs lobby room, and the sound was misaligned. But I'm watching you, and I was like, yo, this guy's killing it. And then they panned to the crowd. The crowd was like going ham, like you were saying, like swinging side to side. Yeah. And it was like, this is fucking what it should be.
And I watched it back, and I fucking hate it because, like, sloppy.
The
monitor didn't really work. It's so big that the echo's coming back. So it was definitely a vibe, but as a DJ, I was like, ugh, that came in horrible.
Yeah, but that part didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
You never want to listen to it the next day. So.
No, but
just grinding away. To be honest, like I said, it wasn't like any one moment. But I've had a few opportunities to DJ for Jay and other rock people, and some really good opportunities there that have turned into you know, them recognizing that I can get the job done. Basically, so.
But he had a video before I even signed to Rock. He had this video out that's like. How do you explain it?
It was meant to be a promotional video.
Yeah, it was super funny.
It was about sort of the state of DJing. This was 3 or 4 years ago.
And he's like, how do I get more gigs? And then there's like mad artists and DJs in there like giving him advice. But it's like, it's like tongue in cheek. Like, you got to get more bottles and stuff like that. Like,
it was sort of a statement about how DJing at that time and even now was very little. Had very little of it had to do with actual DJing. It was sort of about the other things you do and the performance you put on. And so I was kind of like asking my friends, you know, like, what do you think I need to do basically to take it to the next level? And they're giving me the tips that have very
little. So it's a promo video, but it ends up being like a comedy promo video almost.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, meant to be funny. I wanted to be a little bit biting, but not like mean, you know, because like I'm friends, you know, a lot of those big cheesy DJs.
You're friends with a lot of terrible DJs.
And I got to deal with them every day. So it's like... And the clubs, you know, it's the same deal. What's like, I still got to work in these clubs.
What's your preference? A Serato turntables?
Yeah, Serato. I use Serato and turntables.
And turntables?
Yep.
Not like this bitch Cypher Sounds. You prefer Serato and CDJ? A double technological ante up?
I mean, if you get it done, doesn't matter to me how you do it. You know?
I'm very judgmental if I have CDJ love. No, I'm fine with
CDJs. But it's really hard to mix hip-hop on CDJs.
It is?
Yeah. It's really hard to sound good and clean and fast and smooth on CDJs.
Oh, that's my problem.
Yeah, so
it's your problem too, though.
And scratching never sounds good on CDJs.
I don't think it's... I'm just not comfortable.
Scratching never sounds good. Scratching never sounds good in general, in my opinion. Like, minimal scratching is my motto. Like, if you're going to get up and do, like, a scratch routine, I'm over it, pretty much. In a club.
Do you scratch?
Yeah, I scratch. But I'm, like, from the, like, premier school of scratching, where it's, like, clean... Quick.
Right. Wait, are you a battle DJ though?
When
A-Track does it in a club, it's fucking crazy, but it's like a performance though.
It is, but when you look at the reaction of the club.
Oh, there's no.
And when we're talking about club, I'm talking about how girls are reacting. Because that's like who you're DJing to make girls have a good time.
You're never going to make girls start dancing extra because of scratching.
You're going to make them less.
Not if it's on beat and done well and not over the top.
Yeah, that's true.
So like you go to a lot of West Coast clubs and the way that they blend records starts with a dope scratch, which could last several seconds before they get to it, but it's clean.
It's totally fine.
It's not interrupting. I wouldn't go bring it back over and over again. But if you're just using it as your transition thing and you're
one of the instrumentals playing and you're scratching over it.
Or it's the end of a song and as you're getting out, the verse is ending and they come in with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but it just feels really good and then goes right into a blend. Mm-hmm. Not even just straight from the scratch of the song, scratching into the beat, dropping in, blending in, boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
I think it can work really well. But I think some people, including myself, who aren't as good at it, still can end up just wanting to do it if you love scratching.
Yeah. I mean, Jazzy Jeff can scratch all night
at a party.
Bananas is perfect.
Yeah, you never lose anything. Yeah.
It's just about keeping the vibe going, not making it about you scratching being the thing. It's still got to be like, there's still got to be a flow to the
It's about
night.
The songs and the transition more
it's not
than
about
it's about
you like showing off your thing necessarily, unless it's dope.
The worst
and, like,
is
really
when you show
sense.
Off and then it like either skips or you missed the on beat.
Yeah.
Then it's like a wasted fucking effort.
Yeah, it's the worst. Well, I was in a club the other day in LA.
Huh?
Yeah,
in LA?
Yes. It wasn't what it was not what I wanted to be doing. No, I did. When I'm in LA, you know, I try to, it's a good opportunity to like go out for a second because I don't have any responsibilities. So it's like, all right, let me just have fun and try to like get drunk and have a good time. And
it's 2 a.m.
Yeah, so, like, well, exactly. It's not that bad. Sife, that's not.
I'm getting my apple.
What's the point of that? It's really unpleasant. Can you stop? You're not even wearing headphones. You don't even realize how bad it is. Stop. Please. Please. Thank you. So, anyways.
Hey, now I really gotta.
Now you have to. Now you're doing it's the same thing.
Sorry. Actually getting the apple.
No, but now I'm really getting the apple. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, this DJ, and granted, it wasn't like a big clubby club. It's more like a loungy place, right?
Where were you?
Blind Dragon.
Never heard of it.
It's like a.
Any hot bitches?
Yeah, but it's like kind of, but it's like a douchey, half karaoke.
What are you doing there?
It's very now West Hollywood kind of place. And the DJ. I look in the booth because our little table's right next to the booth. So I look in and I'm like, all right.
You're at a table?
Yeah, come on, what you think? Oh, dang, that's the only one way I move.
Wow.
No, I was just in the middle of the dance floor like a fucking yokel. Of course, Sife. I was at a table with bottles and dudes and no one who's able to talk to girls. So
we just
had a table.
Who are you with?
I was with the Lakers starting center, Roy Hibbert, Dipperstein, a couple other agents. And Roy Hibbert's friend. So we have a group that should be cool because literally the basketball season's about to start and he's the new starting center of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But we also had no one in our crew who could get girls. So as a result, we were just the dudes around a bottle at a table with no girls there.
Yep.
So I'm just sitting there observing the DJ more instead. And I'd like to tell you the reason I didn't have girls there is because I was married, but it's not. It's because I never was the guy who just goes up to girls on a dance floor and starts talking to them. So we're just sitting there being losers. And I look in the DJ booth, and right off top, I'm like, oh, this guy's mixing with nothing. Literally just a mixer and a computer. So it already puts me in a bad space.
Right.
And I admit that, and it's old school.
Not even one CDJ?
No, eventually a guy came in and had a controller, and they started using the controller a little bit.
Oh. Wow.
It was one of those like dual controllers with the little wheels, like the thing you used to have in the itch kind of. Mm-hmm. that everything is now. And so, but I'm like, whatever. I'm going to try not to judge that. Let me just listen to music. Yo, this dude played incredibly dark trap for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, in that was included in that would be a couple of songs that I liked. Like, he hit cha-cha, but he hit the new cha-cha version, which isn't nearly as soulful. It doesn't have the sample that plays the whole time. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm just flabbergasted about that you like soulful. Cha-cha.
Oh, I love cha-cha. Cha-cha's a feel-good song. That song feels good. Nothing else he played felt good. Like, you can't...
I might say that song's racist.
Oh, ever? We already... Yeah, of course. It's very...
You've discussed that?
Yes. Okay. At length. We the second he came in for an interview, we're like, you know, you got that all wrong. Yeah. Everything's wrong. So... But then
I don't mind it, though.
Oh, no, it's a good song.
I'm just saying.
Then he plays, for some reason, you know, like when DJs are trying to be ironic, but like it's the weird way to go. He then drops and plays a fucking Jackson 5 song, right? But like a completely unmixed, regular Jackson 5 song.
Yeah.
The crowd acted like they were in a desert for 10 years and someone had thrown them a water.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh my God, singing every word.
Yeah.
All the girls are starting to get happy now. He stayed there for that one song, and then it was like boom, boom, tsk, boom, boom, tsk, boom, like back to fucking 65 beats a minute trap. And I'm like, dude, you got to pick the best of those records and make them make sense. Stop trying to be hip by doing a 2 hour
prime
fucking
time DJ. This is the main.
This was the main DJ.
Night?
It was 1 o'clock on a Friday.
That's a popular DJ technique for whack DJs who get credit for being good is being really whack
and being overly hipster, like
night.
To the point of oh
no, just being garbage, and then you play one song and it sounds so amazing mm-hmm. that people think you're great because it's like the energy goes up so
high.
And I've had nights where I've been like off and just kind of like, man, it's just not working, and I'm playing bad music, and then you play a big record and all of a sudden that one pops and snaps and you kind of get it. You sort of get how that works. But there's DJs who make a whole living off that, being whack and playing like one good song.
Really bothers me. I got to tell you, I did a festival recently. I was at a festival, and I won't say which DJ, but a very famous DJ in the world of music that we live in now. Like one of these guys who's a DJ who makes records and performs
right.
and is known as like a DJ, but you're not really sure what they do. I went up while he was performing. And he's known as the DJ Blank. And thousands of people were there. And he has DJ in his name.
Right.
And he didn't DJ a fucking thing.
No.
I was in the booth. Play on the CDJ, dance, pyro. And I'm like, I can't. I'm willing. Describe yourself as a performing producer or an artist, and I perform. That the title DJ being in your name to me is the only thing that bothers me.
I mean, that's the like, norm. That's the norm, though. I mean, that's not weird. That's not strange.
That's
like,
what do you
most
mean?
Of those, if you go up and watch, there's not much other than people EQing.
Yeah,
it's a pre-made mix because they got pyro. They got all this. They got 100,000 people out there watching them. They're not going to fuck up.
Right. So what's the point of
they
actually
don't want to mix?
Them?
They can't. Most of them like
can't really mix. Even if
the
they produce,
skill isn't quite there. I mean, it's 128 into 128. Because they're making money.
We got to change the word, though.
No, that is a different thing.
I know. It's the same thing as calling rhyming freestyling, right? Yo, you want to hear him freestyle? Oh, okay. And then he just spits a 16. That's fine. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
It's just a different craft.
You're not the audience is the thing. The audience for those things is kids on drugs. You
know, but it doesn't matter. But they
don't
care. But they don't care if the title.
But they don't care if it wasn't called DJ.
Right, right. That's my point.
Like if we made up a new thing.
Oh, you just said if it was like Moby or something, like how that used to be.
Exactly. Right, like and it was just their name.
Or just or a new thing like instead of DJ, like performing producer. So PP. Yo, PP so and so.
Yeah,
like,
but then the producer has to just explain that he's not doing anything. Like,
well, no, but
I
if you made
you
the music,
$100,000 to go up here and literally play a CD,
right, right.
and jump around, which no one's gonna,
right? So then, but isn't that ultimately makes you that's why you're really perpetrating a fraud. You're perpetrating a fraud to make money because you're not DJing.
Yep,
you're a producer, and that's fine. That's a talent. In fact, I can DJ and I can't produce.
You can't be mad. I mean, they're getting paid so much.
But that's the thing. Can I be mad? I think I can be mad.
Mad at them. Be mad at the people who are buying it.
I never knock anyone's hustle. And listen, those producers make some amazing songs that I could never do.
Right,
but
never.
I don't
amazing.
Some do.
No, like amazing where they like blow up to be huge hits. I'm not saying
huge commercial.
Yeah,
records.
I'm not saying like the music. I mean, I like some of the like some that of fucking
No, and either way, the point is we don't have the skill set to sit down and do it. Right?
Like Turn Down for What is amazing to me. Like
yeah, John DJs, you know, too. So well, I mean John DJs.
Snake. Whoever made it. I don't know if
I think it was Snake who made it.
I don't know if he's not
DJs
a DJ.
Snake made it.
Right.
Snake made it. Yeah,
he made the song. What do you mean?
Yeah!
You're saying he
yeah,
didn't?
I mean, no,
it was a collaborative effort.
Yes!
No one's listening to that record without Lil Jon on it. But Snake
the beat was made already.
But like John
it was made already.
John made Usher, yeah, so he's good. You know what I mean? Like,
well, John's we're getting into a different conversation. Let's take, I don't know, who are you talking about?
I'm saying I've heard of, I really like DJ Snake, let me be clear.
Yeah, nice, I like him too. I'm not,
nice
I don't want
guy,
him going down that lane.
But I have
what
heard,
does Calvin Harris do? Does he DJ?
Yo, Calvin Harris crushes, makes amazing club.
But does
commercial.
He DJ?
I think he can probably DJ, but it doesn't matter because he makes massive records.
I love his songs, but is he DJing?
I don't even know. I don't know.
You know
he's
saying?
One
like,
guy who gets away with it because
I don't know any of the
he's
other
like
guys.
A genuine
like who's Afro
superstar.
Jack or who's the other guy? Who's the Asian guy?
Aoki?
Yeah.
Do I think like they're DJ? All capable of probably doing an adequate DJ job.
But they just
not
don't.
Great. But you got to remember, it's the songs are all the same tempo. Like, DJing is very easy.
Anyway, right. Yeah. So how much would they be doing anyway?
And beyond that, I think they're not DJing because they don't want to fuck up in front of all these people. You know what I mean? And
yeah, but
they
that's not fair. That's not how performing works. That, yeah, but, you know, in music, if you do that, if you lip sync and they go, you lip sync the whole show, and they go, yeah, you know what, I know, I didn't want to fuck up in front of you. Well, they don't perform, you fucking dickhead.
We touched on this in the video I made, though. It's really hard to be up there jumping around like a clown, clapping your hands, making finger hearts, standing in front of the DJ booth, standing on the turntables, at the same time actually mixing two records together. You can't do it.
So why don't you just focus on the DJ?
And so the things that these guys got to do in order to be huge celebrity paid DJs
is the other bullshit.
Has very little to do with actually DJing. It has to do with being a personality. And look at Steve Aoki. He's out in a fucking crowd on an inflatable boat. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
that's
never
what
seen
it
that.
Is.
Yes.
Like, he's throwing cakes in the crowd all night, shooting a fire hose into the crowd.
Yeah, well, that's all DJs.
But that's,
and it's,
that,
it's
but
part
then,
of the show. And that's
but
what,
then
that's
just
what
be
the,
Steve Aoki. And think, featuring
but he
DJ
is,
so
he kind
so.
Of doesn't have DJ
he
on his
kind of embraces it, you know, a bit.
Then who the fuck are you talking about? Paulie D?
No, Paulie D's a real DJ. He DJs, as
who
far as I can always tell.
Who,
as far as I can tell.
He makes
booth
an
with?
Attempt.
He makes an attempt to
who
DJ.
Who are you in the booth yeah. with?
An artist.
I like Paulie D simply for the fact that...
We've said this before, yeah.
He was a DJ before Jersey Shore. Not saying he was a great DJ,
right.
But he had a skill unlike any of the other ones.
Yeah.
Then the show blows up, and they're like, okay, club perform, like... Normally, those people, those reality show stars, go to a club, stand at a booth, and get free bottles and girls and get yeah. major money. At least he has a skill.
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Brings
not
people
saying,
to the club when he was
not,
when he was hot. Like
not
people
saying
were
he's
coming
a great,
out to see him.
You know, I don't know if he's a fucking beat juggler, but at least he was doing it before he blew up. And then when they like come to this club and he's like, I want a DJ.
Right.
Cool.
I guess the we'll wrap it up here because I want to get to your book. But the core of my what it really bothers me. Is I haven't played a gig now in a month or two, but the last couple times I've been playing all vinyl and all 45s. The fact that when I get up to perform in a club, like that place in Brooklyn,
yeah.
and I have to entertain the crowd, and all I have is 45s and a fucking shitty room,
I mean...
The level to which that's work versus pyro and fucking letting a CD play
right.
that's already done, it's
right.
I'm offended that it's the same word. I can't even, you know how hard I have to work sometimes with half those records just to keep the needle from skipping
well, I mean,
when I let go of the record?
You know, they made 12 inches.
No, they can't
like
do that.
Like they made those specifically so you don't have to play a 45.
Can't do that. Can't do that. By the way, everyone doesn't like 45s always has a knock for 45s. Yeah, I know, but you know what else
Yo,
they do?
I have more 45s. I got crazy 45s, but it's fun. It's
but
sold.
The 12 inches, but the 12 inches are a pain in the ass to carry. So if you're going to do vinyl, it is nice to carry one bag.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
When was
that's
the last
true.
Time you carried crates? It's a nightmare.
It's been a long time.
It's
been a long time.
Well, you know, that's a legitimate thing. I went to fucking Japan, wherever I went fucking last time, London, and I literally just brought a bag and I threw it in the fucking thing above my head on the plane, and that's it. And it's 2.5 hours of music. If I was to bring, well, I would go back to your days when you were traveling overseas with fucking six crates of records.
Yeah, but no, but you're playing music that wouldn't be on 12 inch anyway. It's different.
No, no, most of it's on 12 inch. A lot of it's on 12 inch.
Hip hop 45s mostly?
No, no, that I play?
Yeah.
I don't mostly play hip hop. I collect the hip hop though.
Okay.
The hip hop collecting is the most fun thing ever because they're just stupid and rare.
Yeah, that's some nerd shit. That's no, it's like
the,
this book.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually very similar to the book.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that was well done.
Nice seg.
I mean, I'll say in closing with that, the festival thing, the thing, I've had this conversation so many times over the years. The thing you got to just realize is that it's not your world. That festival thing is not what you do and it's not your thing. And if you can sort of make a separation between it and you realize that it just has nothing to do with you and it's a whole other business, it's easier to just sort of like let them do what they do. And like,
there's a lot of things that are like that. I accept that. But I think the DJ thing, it's a different thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretending to DJ.
So just
come on, exactly.
Just come up with a new name.
But that's their thing.
Right. That's the hard part. Because all of us here are DJs and ultimately we could sit here and if we had nothing else to talk about, there's some basic things in turntables and records and needles and mixers and shit that we could talk about for hours and hours and hours because we're all nerds. Yeah. And they'd be like, I'm a DJ. Yes, I call myself DJ, but I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. That's just, it's weird.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know.
It would be like going, you're like, I met a guy, I was trying to tell Roy Hibbert, who I was with in the club the other night, I'm like, this DJ is driving me fucking crazy. And he was like, what do you mean? And I'll be like, it would be like,
how
you meeting the best,
kid?
Roy?
Yeah.
It's like 28.
Yeah.
But also he's so focused on basketball.
Right, right.
I'm like, it would be like someone coming up to you and be like, no, I play basketball too. They're like, I've just never taken a free throw. Like, I don't end practice with free throws. And you'd be like, you don't end your practice with free throws. What do you mean you don't practice free throws? I don't think it's necessary. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was just trying to explain it. Anyways.
The frustrating thing is that when those festival, the big guys like an Avicii or something, when you see them at a festival and they play a hip hop song and the crowd thinks it's the craziest thing they've ever heard in their lives.
Yeah.
Like that this EDM DJ managed to somehow get down to like 70 BPMs, they go insane. And now a lot of the EDM guys are playing hip-hop because hip-hop's back.
Yeah, it's big, coming back. So,
big in the clubs. Yeah. Big for even in that world.
Really?
The bottle service, the tables, they want hip-hop now. EDM is rough. EDM is like Calvin Harris.
I got news for you. Let me tell you something about EDM. It's trash. Anyways, the new music.
That How Deep Is Your Love, though? That's my jam.
That's Calvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good.
But isn't Calvin producer. Shit a little bit more soulful generally?
Yeah, definitely. He was a house.
But before all this, he was making good music. He's made good music kind of.
See, the thing is, I know EDM is like a tricky word, but when it was at its height like a year ago and everything was the most electronic sounding, I didn't fuck with it.
Yeah.
Whereas now where pop music's going with all these like chop vocal samples and on everything and like the Snake record and all those songs, I love those. It sounds pleasing to your ear at least. Yeah. Anyways, so you have this book called Rap Tees.
Yeah, it's all about every rap song that uses the letter T.
Yeah, and I can't believe you wrote every use of the word
T. Every song that has a T in it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, already went long rambling about other shit and had nothing to do with your book. So can you explain a little bit? Obviously, the book is about rap T-shirts, rare rap T-shirts, rap T-shirts from over the years. How did you get to doing this? Where did you find the shirts?
There you go. You got it.
And then let's start talking about some of the shirts specifically.
Well, I started collecting as a kid. I was a fan, just a hip-hop fan when I was in my early teens.
Mm-hmm.
I got into DJing when I was 16, and I was just like a crazy, I love Public Enemy, I love Native Tongues. I was obsessed with these groups. I grew up in Ohio, and I could not get the T-shirts. And back then, the way to show your fandom for these groups, the ultimate way was to wear a T-shirt. And so it sort of started this want of these things from a very early age. So, like when I was in high school, I got a Beastie Boys shirt when I was maybe 15 because you could find it at the mall.
Which one?
It was from Check Your Head. It was
a black
picture
one?
Of them. It was black. Picture of them sitting on the steps.
I
of
have
cabin.
The same. I have the same shirt.
Glenn Friedman. I had that shirt because I loved the Beastie Boys, but it was also the shirt I could find
right.
at the CD store, whatever it was at the mall.
Right.
And the other Racist. Early shirt was a Public Enemy because they had order forms in their CDs, mm-hmm. you know, and so. In Apocalypse 91 CD, there was an order form for Public Enemy shirt, so I was able to like mail away for that. But that
where'd you get the money for that?
I mean, it was probably $15. You know, I was old enough to have $15. I was probably 15 years old, 14 years old.
Okay, all right. Shipping and handling.
Shipping and handling, yeah. You know, shirts were cheap back then. You know,
all right.
But and so that started, and then as I got more into DJing, more into digging. And I was in the record store all the time. It was easy for me to be looking for shirts, asking about shirts.
Sometimes they have one, and you're like,
sometimes
oh,
they'd have, you know, some promos or whatever, and I'd be digging it at vintage shops and thrift stores and stuff like that.
How much of the shit in this book, and by the way, I'm already mind blown, and I'm like 20 pages in or 10 pages in, how many of these are yours, and how many did you find, and where did you get the ones that aren't yours?
It's like about roughly half, maybe a little less than half are mine. But there's 550 shirts in the book.
And you have like jackets. 300 shirts in real life?
I have like 300 shirts. Yeah, definitely.
That's incredible.
And it's just been like a collection that turned into sort of an addictive thing, you know?
And are these all promo shirts or some bootlegs?
It's everything. Promo, concert tees, bootlegs.
I never understand that bootleg shit. It's all still the a tour shirt. Merch.
Yo. Nah, but there's a difference between obviously like the one that the label made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see a little more value there.
And the bootlegs became a real thing in the
You have
the
this
90s.
Bill Adler jacket?
No, that Bill Adler had it. So the other tees, I reached out to vintage dealers, collectors, DJs, guys in the industry like Bill Adler. Shout out some of the guys like Brian Procell in New York and my man Kirk in LA from For All to Envy Store.
I'm sorry, this is a jacket, a Def Jam jacket. That's not a shirt.
The book is bullshit.
You're a liar.
It's got some sweatshirts, some jackets.
It lies, and it gives you extra stuff.
Wait, it has each shirt has whose shirt it is.
It's got the info on it, the year, when it was from. But it's all original. The thing about these shirts in this book is they're impossible to find.
By the way, they're impossible to find, and the market on eBay for rap shirts, and I collect a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like I'm into wrestling shirts. I'm into 45s, hip hop 45s, which are expensive. And I peruse rap shirts too because I have a nice collection of my own. Nothing like yours, obviously, but a nice little stack. Right. So I'll look for other ones. It's the most inflated price shit I've ever seen. Like there's not a thing I've seen collect. There are shirts that are promotions, you will have some, that I see at 500. Mm-hmm. Like that's the only bit. Yes. 575. For like the promo, if it's a clean copy of a promo tee, that's rare, or not even that clean a copy of the shirt.
Yeah.
Especially if they're from the mid 80s, late 80s, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, they cost that much because they're actually that hard to find.
Like, because they're that rare.
Yeah, I mean,
because once you got a price, you didn't know. Look, you're Run DMC.
Dude, look how many Run DMC shirts there are.
But you're Run DMC. They print up a shirt for whatever this is, a tour. Yeah. Or a show, or one of them said Rush Management. Those are like the Rush art. Like, you print up a shirt, it's for the moment. It's to promote Run DMC at the moment. So you wear it 3-4 times, even 10 times. Then you're like, oh, this shirt's nasty. And you throw it out.
Exactly.
It wasn't rare at the time.
And in the book, I talked to Say Adams, Eric Hayes, who are the original Rush designers, the guys who were actually like making these shirts on the road.
Yeah.
And at the time, 1987... you're not even thinking about it. You're designing these while you're on the road. You're doing it with cutouts, photocopy, taping it onto a shirt, showing it. Say Adams was taking it to Rakim, showing him the shirt, see what he thinks with the color swatches. It wasn't like today. And then you just drop it off at the print shop. You get the shirts, you sell out of them, and then you move on to the next.
Pages and pages of Run DMC.
Yeah, Run DMC is thorough.
Is it the biggest one?
There's a lot of Beasties, a lot of... Basically, okay. Def Jam, like 85 through like 90, Def Jam.
Oh my God.
It's really, really thorough.
What is that? I can't read it. Oh, that's not good.
No, we're not skipping. It's the original red Beastie Boys shirt. The back says, don't be an F word, F-A-G-G-O-T.
Yeah, I mean, that shirt was never released, but it's sort of like a little hip hop trivia. That was actually the original title for License to Ill.
What?
Yeah.
How do you know that? Adler told you? Who told you?
No, I mean, that's like, it's kind of common. It's common, but knowledge that obviously is not
common.
Beasties
underground
don't want
Beastie
it to
knowledge?
Be out, but like, it's that was the original working title, and obviously it got shut down immediately, but not before. Like, I mean, that's probably the only one of that
shirt that exists.
That's a Japanese guy. And
where the fuck did
I went to Japan and like basically did an open call for a bunch of friends to invite all their friends with vintage tees because they're pretty crazy over there. And I had a whole day where I was just shooting garbage bags.
Like, where were you shooting? I rented
a studio for a few hours
and
in Tokyo.
You would shoot yourself or you had a photographer?
No, I shot all the photos.
You shot all the photos?
Are the shirts on the floor?
Shooting them, yeah, they're on the floor in New York.
Like on a ladder or something?
Yeah.
Dude, these shirts are incredible. These Beastie Boys shirts are incredible.
Let me tell you something. I didn't give a fuck about Ross one. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck him.
I agree.
But then right. I'm at the office the other day, and the book is on the table of one of the publicist girls, Ayana. And I'm like, what's that? Yo, that sounds weird. I'm fingering through this book. I'm looking through. I'm like, this shit is fucking crazy.
It's insane. You know, it's obviously it's a limited audience, the limited scope. This is for the true nerd. But the true nerd is going to love this
LL
book.
Cool J. Yeah.
The nerd gets the most appreciation, but these things are super fashionable right now. And a lot of, I mean, celebrities have really been wearing these things in the last couple of years.
You mean the shirts?
Rihanna, Drake.
Oh, yeah, and I just mean the Kanye book, though. I just mean having the whole collection.
The book
right?
is like, I made it for my people. I right, made
for
it
the people
for,
like you.
Yeah, I mean, for the collectors and the rap nerds.
Look at this LL Cool J World crazy. Tour 89-90. It has LL with the Panther on it.
So that's like
Slick
that's
Rick
like,
logo and the De La
that's
Soul.
That's merch.
That would have been tour merch. Sold on the road.
So nobody,
and this like, would have been designed like on a tour bus, basically.
I doubt LL even had that shirt.
Right.
Know?
None of these guys have the shirt. Yo, the original designers, I talked to Russell for the book. Russell gave some great quotes. He doesn't have any of these.
Yeah, because...
These guys get emotional when you show it to them because it takes them right back to 1986.
Promo shirts at the label, you would probably have more of than merch.
Merch. Because
you probably don't ever even see the merch.
You'd be surprised, though, because promo t-shirts...
Public Enemy section is thorough.
Yeah, PE is really thorough. Chuck D was just the ultimate t-shirt god, for sure, merchandising god. But the promos, you'd be amazed how many of those you've thrown away in your life.
And, I know, I've thrown away a lot, but I have a lot, though. I have.
That's good. I mean, that's
when you get to that power shirt. Oh.
When you get to that raucous era, you should have called me, bro.
You don't get there, do you?
It cuts off in 99, so it starts.
Okay, well,
there's like a Fondulum shirt. Well, there's not a Fondulum shirt in the book. I actually didn't make this book. We had to cut a bunch of stuff.
You get to part two, man.
Dude, what, you have these? Do you have any of these?
I have this one.
That's incredible. The Slick Rick one, Great Adventures. Jazzy Jeff, you have that?
Yeah.
Dude. Wait, it's Jazzy Jeff, not Fresh Prince?
There's
Jazzy
no Fresh Prince. What about these Biz Markie shirts?
What is that? Why would it just be Jazzy
Jeff?
This is me.
You have the white shirt, which is the Biz on it?
Yeah.
And you have the Big Daddy Kane. It's a Big Daddy thing shirt?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Do you have any Big Johnson shirts in here?
What do you consider the most valuable? What's the crown jewel of your collection?
There isn't really like one. I mean, there's Def Jam 87 tour shirts that I love. For me, I mean, I wear like 10 shirts. You know what I mean? Like, I wear still the same stuff when I was 16. I still want to wear those shirts every day. So if I'm putting on a shirt, I'm putting on a Tribe Called Quest shirt or a
But do you
Beasties.
Wear any of these?
Yeah, some of these are shirts I wear. So the book has East Coast in the beginning, and then it kind of goes to the South, and then it goes to the West, and then the end is kind of a little section of movies, hip hop related movies, film.
Man, dude, this book is so.
But yeah, like I was saying, the thing about the book is like you can see a shirt in there and love it and want it, and you're just not going to find it. That's kind of the special thing about the tees in here is they're completely unavailable.
Yeah, like maybe one of these bootleg ones you'll run up on in a vintage shop in LA somewhere.
Maybe a couple $100, you know.
But the promo ones, I mean, where did you get the? How did you get a picture of the Snoop jersey?
Gin and Juice jersey.
Gin and Juice. That's my man Kirk in LA had that, and it was.
He has the actual one.
No, that's not the one from the video, but it was something. The one in the video actually says Pittsburgh down it.
You're
so
right.
This could have been like made by somebody in the 90s. This is a 90s.
Oh yeah,
it was the
diagonal Pittsburgh alternate jersey,
which I've seen. Also, another friend of mine has one of those
Snoop shirts. Wow,
but yeah, I try to pretty much. It definitely follows my taste, but it's pretty thorough.
I have finally one shirt that I have made it.
Far Side, Quentin.
Yeah, I have the Far Side. Where's Quentin shirt? I would kill someone. I'd stab a human being and leave their body on the ground if I could get this promo casual shirt. that's incredible.
Yeah, one's mine, man. Open to trade.
That one is? Yeah. All right, I'll show you my collection. I'll see if there's anything you want. The Far Side one, I ordered from the tape. I know you have the OMTV Raps one, which was stolen from me. I ordered that. I waited like a year, and it was eventually stolen from me.
I had that when I was a kid as well. Lost it.
That one hurt. Really? That one hurts. Dude, these are so good. It's crazy. Like... If I was just loaded and someone had these available for sale, there's a lot of money I'd spend.
These NWA ones are sick.
I mean, and there's a lot of NWA ones. I didn't realize there'd be so many. I mean, some were boot, right?
They were on it. They were on their merchandise game for sure. Some of them were bootleg. The biggest guys for merch were definitely Russell and Chuck D. And also, weirdly, Ice-T made like tons of shirts. It was really good about having tour tees.
What is that?
We're all in the same gang shirt. Oh,
wow. Yeah, important video for me, definitely.
Me too. I'm huge.
Video Music Box, that thing was on.
I'm a big We're All in the Same Gang guy. Let me tell you what, there aren't a lot of us around. People don't talk about We're All in the Same Gang at all. And it's a
maybe, I don't know if the song quite stood the test of time as well as the memory of watching the video a thousand times a day.
Yeah, I agree. And it certainly wasn't self-destruction, but it was it's a great moment.
Self-destruction, Stop the Violence shirt is in there.
Of course it is. Oh, Repug.
Yeah, I always, every time I go to concerts and see people selling those bootleg shirts outside, I always, like, should I just get that? Because even though it's a fake bootleg shirt, it's still like a fun memory.
And now those are still valuable.
They had them at the title show. They had bootleg.
They did?
Outside. Yeah, you should have had one, probably, for your memory.
I should have fucking got one.
Yeah.
I got there too early, and then I left at the bitter end, so I didn't see anyone outside. They sell them outside, right?
Cowards in Compton get sprayed and dinged.
Yeah, classic Miami shirt. When anybody from Miami sees that shirt, they freak out.
What is that?
It doesn't exist anymore, but back then, that was when Dre and Luke had beef.
Yep.
And what is it? What does it say?
And Cowards in Compton get sprayed and dinged.
Oh my God.
That's a really aggressive shirt.
It's aggressive.
All Luke Skywalker material.
Yeah, so this is kind of like the beginning, the South. Each section sort of goes chronological, but
Rapatron 87, Two Live Crew, MC Shy D, Mantronics, Egyptian Lover. July 11th, 1987, Little Rock, Arkansas. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's tough. So this is like the end of the East, so this could be more like late 90s.
Oh, they got, what's the lock? That's the locks, set the locks free or whatever it is?
When they moved over to Rough Riders.
No, this is wild out. It's not the set the locks free.
Oh, what did that say?
We are the streets. Okay, hold on, let's go back.
That was like kind of an announcement shirt. Like, we're here. We're Rough Riders now.
They used to wear this shirt before they were on Rough Riders. It was like, let the locks go.
Yeah, yeah. The Jay-Z rock jacket.
So that's Lenny S's Reasonable Doubt coat from back then. So I got to reach out to a lot of great people and shoot their collections. Bill Adler had some really dope stuff, obviously.
Who's Bill Adler again?
He was the promotions director for Def Jam in the early days. So
he wrote a book, right?
He's worked on a number of books. He's definitely like a historian.
Yeah. He's just like, and he has a lot of shit too.
He had like early Eric B. Rakim tour stuff.
I would love this one. Can I get this one from you?
It's pretty good.
Oh, I have that crew one.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love that too. That, yep. You have this?
What's that?
Black Star.
Yes, many of those.
This is the this one, one you guys those? Had. Maybe. Yo, the Stretch Show, by the way, was bananas. Oh, Stretch and Bob.
Thanks.
Wait, this is the Echo one I was talking about.
That's the Echo one.
Remember, that's the kid.
Yep.
Recording.
To press record. I had this shirt.
Big L, Lifestyles of the Porn
Dangerous.
That
shirt
from
is really tough. Big L.
You have that?
No, it's not mine. I wish.
I might have the pun one, too.
You could have the pun one for sure.
I might have the pun one.
You could have this one, even. Jealous One's Envy?
No,
a little before you?
I got to give like the play-by-play to let people know what you're looking at.
Slick Rick, Behind Bars shirt, another Fuji shirt. These appear bootlegs, some bootlegs.
Here's the best bet. Just buy the book.
Yeah, that's probably what you want to do.
Because this is an audio podcast, so.
I have this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there's people sickened with us right now.
I have the Mobb Deep Murder Music shirt. Loud jacket. That's Mage. I really would like that. That's a Mobb Deep Shook Ones bootleg.
The bootlegs have gone really crazy lately. Those are the shirts, especially if you get like the really kind of the 95 one. Bootlegs where it's Nas.
I have this one.
Mobb. That's a great shirt. The Nas Illmatic.
It's
promo.
A Repug. This shirt is a Repug. And I like that I have it. It was my cousin's and he gave it to me. He bought it in Boston. I guess it was a popular bootleg.
The label put out and then it got bootlegged. I've seen a couple of different versions of it.
Oh, really? It's a Nas The World Is Yours shirt, but it says it ain't hard to tell on the back. Oh my God, look, by the way, it has a world on it. So you think that means World Is Yours. But then it says One Love on it. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, it says It Ain't Hard to Tell.
Yeah, it's just
all the singles.
Just random shit, man.
The design departments in the mid-90s sort of fell off a little bit, definitely.
Is any of these Wu-Tang's ones real?
Those are all legit.
This is legit.
Yeah, WuWare did the logo, individual logos for each artist, like the upside down Wu for Method Man. These are all legit.
Oh! The M is the upside down W in Method Man?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And the GZA one is like a sideways W with like
get
a
out of here.
Extra M.
Isn't it wacky? They kept coming with different stuff. Anyways, where can people get this book?
It's available on November 3rd.
I have this in great.
Tuesday.
Sorry, at J. Rue. Oh, November 3rd. That's the day my comedy show comes out.
Same as Sykes' comedy show.
Now we're in competition.
So you can pre-order it on Amazon now and they'll deliver it free on November 3rd also.
I would like this Don't Front, You Know I Got Your Open shirt.
Wait a minute, hold on.
It's like $25 on Amazon. It's a bargain. It's a...
What is it? But it's bootlegged?
Ayana, the publicist.
No, the book, not
the book is.
The
I
shirt.
Like, really? Wow.
The shirt's not $25 on Amazon.
Ayana, the publicist of Rock, got Ross One onto our podcast promoting his book November 3rd.
Shout out Ayana.
Can I get on your podcast to promote my comedy show?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Do you have a podcast?
No, I do not have a podcast.
I loved how much she said it, though. I was like, really? Does anyone listen to this podcast? Like, yeah. It's not a fair trade. In fact, he doesn't even have one. This Showbiz and AG sweatshirt, bro.
That's one of my favorite things in the book, and that belongs to Showbiz.
He has that.
Yeah. That shirt has been the number one on my want list since I saw the video.
The t-shirt? Or that's what?
Because in Soul Clap video, they're all wearing that t-shirt. Yep. Can I get a Soul Clap? And since I saw the video, I was like, oh, I need this shirt so badly. I've searched for
Jack
it the whole time. And finally, I got in touch with Showbiz, and he still has that.
Wow.
So I shot his.
Mr. Hood Cam D shirt. Man.
Yeah, Cam D.
Third base shirts. Oh, man, some nice pictures in here, too. First Priority shirt, MC Light Roughneck, Black Sheep shirts. Where's the De La section? Oh.
This is all Native Tongues through here. If you go...
After Sets
of Honor? This shit is crazy. This Red Alert jacket.
Oh, yeah. I seen that.
Red Alert production.
I've seen it on Red Alert. He still wears it.
Crazy.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, if you start here, it's kind of Native Tongues.
De La shirts. Man, oh, man, oh, man. These ones are expensive. I saw this one online the other day for like $400.
Oh, I have that one. Stakes is high.
Yeah.
I have that.
Just one?
No, not that one.
That's Japan Tour. This is the promo. That's a promo. That's merch.
What does that say? Stakes high. I have that one.
The back says keep it real. It says keep it real with real cross.
Where are your
this
shirts?
Is the tribe.
Where do you keep
this
them?
Is bananas.
Like,
I have this one. That's it.
Are they in storage or?
Yeah, I mean, I have the stuff I wear and then like a bunch of stuff that like I could potentially wear but don't. And then I got Tupperwares full. When the book drops, we're going to be doing some pop-up shops. We'll do one in New York, probably one in L.A., one in Japan,
shops.
Where we're going to sell off a bunch of the shirts.
Really?
So there'll be shirts from the book for sale. And
what, you're selling something just for promo?
No, to do a pop-up. So
well, like, are you selling your own?
Yeah, some of my own.
And why?
I'm working with some of the vintage dealers and a guy, Procell in New York. I'm going to deal with For All to Envy in LA, and we'll be doing pop-up shops in their stores with my shirts and their shirts.
Will you let me know about some, please?
Yeah, for sure.
I'd really be interested in some. There's probably some you'd get me for.
It's just a good time to unload, you know, for me, and the collection reached a point where it was so overwhelming that it's kind of like, the idea for the book was to sort of put like a period on the collection and be like, all right,
it's all together in one place.
Now I can like let it go.
Right. That's a good idea.
Because I collect a bunch of stuff, you know.
Vinyl.
I have a big collection of radios, big collection of old flyers. So it's just like, it's kind of nonstop. So
really,
can,
you're a Jew rap nerd who collects shit.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Such a weird type.
Dude, this is really cool. Thank you for bringing it by.
Thanks for giving me the time.
No problem. This turned out to be an interesting conversation. Now, we have some other stuff we have to do real quick.
Okay.
Rap Tease, the book, available next week or November or whatever.
November 3rd, Tuesday. Right. But it's available now if you go on Amazon. It'll be at your house on the 3rd.
There you go. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, Sy, before we get out of here.
Yeah.
You and I haven't talked about Jake since he passed away.
Oh, Jake, yeah. See, I tell you, it wasn't good to start with that.
I don't think it necessarily would have been downbeat, but I guess maybe it's better to end with.
Rest in peace, Jake, the man who told me to take an improv class.
I mean, that has to put him pretty high on influence in your life list.
I mean, I didn't know at the time.
Right.
But changed my life. Thanks, Jake. And I try not to be depressed about his passing because he...
All right, but did you deal with it, though?
No.
let's be honest, because here's what happened. I found out, and you guys remember, we had just talked about him on the podcast. So I text Syph and I go, Jake passed last night. And Syph wrote, like, oh my God, that's so sad, or something like that. And I didn't think you were being generic, like you didn't care, obviously.
No, but he was sick.
Right. No, but I also could tell, I was like, oh, this is, you were in the middle of ramping up the promo for your title thing too, right?
Yeah.
You were in full-blown title mode. So I wondered whether you took the time to like, if it's truly sunk
but
in.
But I already do that before. When people are sick like that, where you get a couple of emails saying he might not make it, that, you know, I already kind of gear up. It's not a shock. is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though.
I spoke to him, though. I mean, I texted with him.
I ended up feeling more depressed about it than I thought I would. I thought I'd be like, well, I was expecting it. And then last week, just for 3 days or so, I couldn't really get out of it. I don't know.
I hope I don't sound like a fucking douche, which I probably do, but to me, it's like he made it so much further than he was supposed to in life, which they said he wouldn't live past what, 6 years old or some
12.
Shit?
12. I just heard an interview with him. I listened to an interview of his the other day.
So they told him at a young age he wouldn't live past 12. And the kid was like, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, and he made it to 40.
Yeah.
And by the way, I remember Shawnee reminded me of this, and he's right. Jake definitely said he wanted to hit 40. He definitely said 40 was like a fuck you point that he wanted
really?
To hit. Yeah. And he hit it. He died the next week. But I went and listened.
He shouldn't have said that.
But I shouldn't have?
No, he shouldn't have said it.
Said fuck you? But I went back and listened to this interview that he did.
What interview?
He was interviewed on a podcast and on a radio show. Hmm. People just like found out about his life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did. What
remember
was
he did the TV show?
Yeah, he did like a TV show, right? Like,
yeah, I rewatched that. That is the funniest thing
well,
ever.
Well, why? You went and watched it because he passed?
Yeah.
Ugh, that's so weird.
No, it's not. That's called taking it in, bro.
I can't do it.
This is where I was trying to get to. I'm taking it all in. You're still reading the book. You're even distracting yourself right now.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's what I'm saying. So you're saying, you're like, oh, well, I was prepared. Halfway, but half of you is still like... I mean, it's fine. But listen, none of us deal with anyone.
I spoke to him.
Recently.
So that's why I'm okay with it.
What'd you say?
You know, I heard you were sick. Hope you're feeling better. He hit me back. I'm good. And then he asked me about comedy, you know? Just regular convo with Jake.
Yeah.
So, like, I got to speak to him before he passed. So it's like.
I mean, he's still gone, though.
But, like, yo, I wish somebody would take me off the email chain. Because those are depressing.
Well, I'm going to the thing. Do you get that email today or yesterday?
I saw yesterday, yeah. You're going to Houston?
I just bought my ticket, yeah.
I don't fuck with that shit.
No, I'm calling bullshit on you.
Why?
You don't fuck with funerals. This is at a barbecue restaurant celebrating his life.
Oh.
That's exactly, you can't say that's not what you would fuck with.
I don't,
By the way, I'm not saying you should feel obligated to go, but I wouldn't say I don't fuck with
it. Who are those people, though?
Oh, like people who've worked with them, people
I don't
friends
know
with
them.
But that's what it's about.
What?
That's called celebrating someone's life.
Nah, I don't know those people, man.
That is such a weird hood mentality that I don't even understand.
I don't know those people.
Well, you don't have to go. I'm saying you don't think it's not weird. Like, here's the thing. I felt like the role he played in our life, and he was a producer, right? Like, that's what he was in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah.
I feel, and I don't think anyone, like, I already knew I was going, so I don't think, like, everyone has to go. But I think it's important, you know, that probably people he's produced over the years, it means something, because that was, like, it really was his life's work, was producing. So to have the talent who he produced, I don't know, I imagine I meet other talent he worked with, and we laugh, and we drink, and eat barbecue, and be depressed. But, I mean, I think it's obviously, let me tell you, when I knew there was going to be anything related to congregating about death, I know you're not going
to
be there.
Yeah, I'm not going to that.
I know. And I don't think he
you know
would.
I'm not going.
I got to be honest. I don't think he would expect it. Well, the funniest thing to me, though, were those group prayers.
Yeah.
So on the email, his loved ones, and God bless them, no pun intended, they're like, oh, let's all have, you know, when he was really sick, they're like, let's have a group prayer tonight at like 7 o'clock. If you just all want to think about it, you know, blah, blah, blah. A normal thing for someone who's religious at all to say. Except Jake took religion and fucking pissed on it and was like, this is the dumbest shit. Like, I don't know if I've ever met someone as atheist as Jake.
Right.
And he literally thought the whole thing was just a fucking ripoff.
But I feel really bad.
You shouldn't. They know this about him,
no,
too.
No, but I wanted to write back and be like, because they're writing from Texas. So I'm like, 7 o'clock Eastern time? Like, where are you? Like, who's on this email? Like, where? What time?
By the way, if you'd written that, I would have known you were an asshole because I would have known you weren't participating no matter what time it was. Well, I just thought it was amusing. And then when they had they announced his funeral, I reached out to his ex-wife. And I'm like, should I bother with the funeral? Or is it just going to be, like, straight up middle of Texas funeral?
Yeah.
Because that's not what Jake's all about. And she was like, no, I think you should probably just go to the like celebration.
Right.
And I'm like, that makes sense. Cause it's probably a barbecue restaurant he liked. I'm guessing that he would have wanted me to taste.
Right.
So I figure we go down there, eat some barbecue, talk about Jake. I think Dominican Drew's gonna go.
That's nice.
But I want to shout out our listeners too, because when I tweeted it and stuff, we definitely had some listeners who reached out. Shout out to Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon made a really nice post for him.
Oh, he did?
On Instagram.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, did Nick Cannon say anything?
Yeah, Nick Cannon made a really nice post for Jake.
Really?
He was a great guy.
That's cool. That's cool of Nick to do that.
And if anyone remembers the old episodes that he was on, please feel free to remind me, because I'd like to go back and listen, because I don't remember which ones he was on. I know he just kind of popped up. So, but he was, everyone, you've heard about him if you're a listener. He was a very special guy. So rest in peace to our buddy Jake.
Thank you for everything, Jake.
Yeah, Jake, you made Syph a fucking crazy person, so.
No, he said, yo, if I get my TV show off of my improv show.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that?
That sounded really weird.
It's like there's like an opera rehearsal studio upstairs, but I never heard it like that. That sounds like a ghost. Okay. Anyway, yeah, if I get my TV show.
If you got an improv TV show.
I'm going to give Jake a big shout out.
No, if you were real with it, I'm going to tell you if you were real what you would do.
Yeah.
If you were real, you would get him an honorary production credit.
All right.
That shit would be so tight, right? The posthumous, you know, Purdue. That's like some old school hip hop shit. That's like some six which are invisible form, one which is in spiritual essence.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's still blowing cream. Yo, DJ Ross won. A.K.A. His much nerdier name, Ross Schwartzman.
That's me, Schwartzman.
Although I consider, honestly, the fact that you included Ross in your DJ name, you deserve credit, because that's nerdy a Jew name as you can
I
have.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Ross.
Why the one, though? Why the one?
Just to make it cooler?
Chosen people? The chosen ones?
Is that what it is?
Nailed it.
I got news for you about your friend Ross here. He's a sarcastic piece of shit.
Nailed it.
Anyways, Rap Tees. Order it right now on Amazon, and we'll be back next week with something spectacular.
Mage?
I would say major, at least Major J's.
I'm gonna tell you the problem with Mage.
Ooh, these shirts are tight.
I'm gonna tell you the problem with Mage.
Mm.
Writing it sucks.
It looks as Madge.
It says Madge.
But I'm not writing M-A-G-E because that's not what it is. M-A-J-E, that's not what it is.
It's M-A-J. I feel you, but it doesn't come off right.
I hate when people say Madge. I
that's
get so
the new
frustrated.
Word? Mage?
Well, that's
like,
his word.
It's like my word. But Mage. People like say Madge.
That's something like my dad would say, definitely.
See?
But it sounds
it's,
cool.
Yeah, it's
writing
like
it on
a
Twitter doesn't. How do you fix that? Maybe you got to put the little line over the A.
Ooh, now you're talking. Talk that talk.
What did that? What?
Talk that talk.
What are you talking about?
About the punctuation.
I'm just trying to be Khaled.
Oh, I thought you were reading something. Oh, so you're saying put the line over the top?
Yeah, now you're talking that talk. That makes sense to me.
Put that Mage.
I like that. Maybe that makes it make more sense.
Mage. Be global.
Global.
I can't wait.
Global.
I can't wait to be.
I lived in Miami for a minute, and that was just like the greatest part of my day was turning on the radio and listening to what he was saying that day.
Yo, what about the McDonald's commercials?
Amazing.
Yo.
Amazing.
Yo.
The McDonald's mixed in with they got a crazy like car accident lawyer commercial down there that's like, that's to my neck, my back, that they like redid it.
No.
It's pretty good.
Wait, To me, the funniest shit was Khaled. His real name in real life is Khaled Khaled.
Right.
Which is the most Muslim name, Arabic name you could have. Doing Egg McMuffin with sausage commercials.
And I go back and I have another one.
Sausage.
Another one. Sausage. And if you had that sausages. Sausage, you ain't had that sausage.
So, but when the light turns off, the interview's over, it's the same person.
Yeah.
Nothing switches off.
Syph told me he's always been that way.
Oh, Khaled?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Khaled.
No.
That's Khaled.
Genius. The guy is a genius.
He's he's always been the same. Hold on. Now I feel like we have to play one to end the show.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
You're right.
The Complex video. I don't know how many times I've watched it now.
The jumping in the water?
No, the sneaker one where they go into his closet.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Here we go.
And he just takes every shoe that's red is, I call this, you played yourself. It doesn't matter what the shoe is.
All right, guys, we're going to end the show like this. Ross One, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You can bring our mics down and just leave the music up if you don't mind. Here you go, guys. We'll take DJ Khaled talking about McDonald's to take you out.
Check this out. Sausage biscuit, 89 cents all week. I love sausage biscuits. Let me tell you something about that sausage biscuit. First of all, the biscuit is so amazing. And that sausage, when you take one bite, let me tell you something about that one bite. You be like, now this is what you call a good morning. My thing is, I bought three of them. I don't know what you bought. I bought three. And now they only got it for 89 cents, only for this week. So I ain't gonna lie to you, might be 6. 3 on the way to work, and 3 later. Give thanks to the microwave. McDonald's, I know I'm loving it. Excuse me, we loving it. Believe that's 99 Jams of South Florida's only station for hip hop and R&B. You know how we do. I'm gonna take you to the party right now. Let's go.
Hey, yo, this is Busta Rhymes.
You know I speak for the people. I'm talking about this dollar menu at McDonald's. Listen, man, nuggets, cheeseburger, chicken sandwich. You heard me last time. That double cheeseburger, like I said, when I take a bite, I look at it and I see a lot more bites left. And it's only for a dollar. Now, the chicken nuggets with the barbecue sauce, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I put 2 or 3 in my mouth immediately and start eating it like crazy. And you know what I do? I go back in my pocket, I buy more nuggets. And I get another double cheeseburger. You want to know why? Because there's a recession out there, and I love food, and it's only for a dollar. The dollar menu is the way to go at McDonald's. I'm loving it. It's DJ Khaled. Mickey D's the skull.
Yo.